Turn with me, please, to the book of First John. First John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. We are continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer. And I believe with all my heart that I'm plowing exactly where God wants me to plow in these scriptures. I don't know, this is the probably somewhere around the 10th, 8th or 10th, number 10. This is number 10 in the series, and we're not even through the Lord's Prayer yet. But it's been a real blessing. God knows we ought to be people of prayer. 1 John 5. Jesus said, when you pray, we preached this last week, pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. And we preached that whole message last week on lead us not into temptation. But he said in the next phrase, deliver us from evil. Father, this morning as we come into your presence, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for each one that's come this way, that's got out in the snow and driven and got their clothes on and had a desire to be in the house of God. And Lord, I praise you that your presence is with us. Lord, you're not hindered by weather. Lord, you're not hindered by anything. You are a God, and beside thee there's none other. We praise you this morning for the Lord Jesus. We praise you for the opportunity to pray. We praise you for the opportunity and the freedom to be in your house. Now we pray that you'd come by and bless the message and feed us from the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus said, when you pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There is evil in the world. If you are experienced at all in life, you know that evil is present in the world. Listen to the newspaper. Listen to the radio today, the news programs. Read the newspaper. Live your life. Watch the community happenings, and you will know that evil is in the world. You say, what kind of point is that, Pastor? Listen, the world does not deny there's an evil presence, but the world denies there's the presence of God. And so we need to understand that when evil is present, that the Spirit of God is also there. The Bible says when evil would come in like a flood, that God will raise up a standard against it. I'm glad for the standard that has been raised. The Word reveals to us, listen carefully, I'm going to go through this quickly. The Word of God reveals to us in this world there are evil spirits, Acts chapter 19. That is a spirit with a plural. There is not just an evil spirit in this world, but there are evil spirits. The Bible says there's evil speakers, 1 Corinthians 10. In Titus 3:2, the Christian is instructed to speak evil of no man. And yet we understand in the world there are evil speakers. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that there's evil communications. And the Bible says that evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil speaking is speaking evil about a person. Evil communications is a spreading of evil things. Understand that as we move on. There's evil days, Ephesians chapter 6. Some days are more evil than others. We call them bad hair days. It ain't hard for me to have a bad hair day. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Last weekend, I wrestled the devil himself all weekend long. I can remember my former pastor, the man who preached and led me to the Lord, used to say, he'd get in the pulpit on Sunday, he'd say, I've wrestled the devil all night. I didn't know what he was talking about. I do now. And so there are evil days. There are some days that are just worse than others. It seems that there's some days that there's evil spirits that seem to oppress us. Paul said, I have fought after the manner of men with evil beasts at Ephesus. I'm not exactly sure what Paul was talking about right there. But I understand, friend, that there is an evil in the world, and Jesus told us to pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. There's evil workers, Philippians 3. I wish people in today's society would work as hard at good as they do at evil. There's evil workers, Philippians 3:2. There's evil surmisings, 1 Timothy 6. Evil surmisings, people who surmise and are presumptuous, think they know something, and they come up with all kinds of evil, presumptuous things. Well, you know what? As an example, you know, I know what they're saying about me. Well, you don't know what they're saying about you. Oh, I know what that bunch is up to. Well, you don't know. We're so often, we're even Christian people, we're presumptuous. We surmise things that are evil when they're not. So there's evil surmising. There's an evil heart of unbelief, Hebrews 3:2. There's an evil conscience, Hebrews 10. Paul said, listen to this carefully. He said in Romans 7, he said, I find a principle. He said that when I would do good, he said, the things that I would do, I find myself not doing. The good things I want to do, I don't do. The bad things that I don't want to do, I wind up doing. He said, oh my goodness, what is wrong with me? He said, I find then a law in that when I would do good, Romans 7, that evil is present with me. Wow. Can't get away from it. He said, I find a law. He said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But he said, I find another law in my members, that's in my flesh, and that other law in my members wars against the law of my mind and brings me into captivity into the law of sin. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall be able to deliver me from the body of this death? Then the next verse, he answers the question. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He can deliver me. When I would do good, evil is present with me. No wonder Jesus taught us, deliver us from evil. When we pray, we often think as we pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. We often think of, Lord, deliver me from the evil situation. Lord, deliver me from the evil communication, from the evil speaker, from the evil circumstance. We often pray that. We often think that. But listen, there's other evil than outside sources. There's the inside source of evil. And when we're to pray, Lord, deliver us from evil, we're to pray that, Lord, deliver... Hey, I said this before. Lord, deliver me from George. Thank God for the day when we do drop this robe of flesh and we rise to seize the everlasting prize and we shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet air of prayer. Thank God for that day. But listen, I'm not living in the sweet by and by. I'm living in the nasty now and now. I need some help, folks. I need the Word of God. Listen, I'm to be delivered from an intrinsic evil that dwells in me. One church in California, in the Crystal Cathedral, when they sang Amazing Grace, they weren't allowed to say, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The pastor didn't believe that God made any wretches. I got news for you, folks. When the greatest Christian in the Word of God, Paul the Apostle, said, oh, wretched man that I am, I don't have a problem saying, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You see, the basic philosophy of the world is that man is good and he just needs to improve. And the world is failing. And the philosophy and the truth of the Word of God is man is evil and he needs to be born again and cleansed from his sin by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. So, the fact is there's evil in the world. Another problem is, we don't trace that evil to its source. You've got to trace something to its source to understand it. To be able to combat it, you have to trace it to its source. If in fact we must combat evil, we need to be given instructions on how to accomplish that task. And there is a great standard available in the Word of God to overcome the evil. John said, listen carefully, I write unto you because you have overcome the wicked one. Church, if you're born again and the Spirit of God dwells inside of you, you have, past tense, get it down, overcome the wicked one. You have overcome him. You didn't do it because of a resolution. You didn't do it because you turned over a new leaf. You did it because you repented of your sins and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the Spirit of God was placed inside of you to help you overcome. That's the only way it can be done. We need, listen, the world, I'm speaking as symbol today. The world, the Oriental people have a symbol of good and evil. It's called the yin and yang. And I taught you this in the New Age movement. I'll review it again. But it's like a little circle with two little squiggly things. One is black and one is white. And they're kind of put together in that circle. Y'all seen that symbol. That is called the yin and yang. And it is their symbol for good and evil. And yet that little squiggly line is not exactly straight, is it? What does that represent? That is their symbol to represent that this world is a mixture of good and evil, and that there is no definite line between the two. That's a false religion. There is a definite, prescribed, definitive line between good and evil when you come to the Word of God. Make no mistake about it this morning, the devil desires in your life to blur the line between good and evil. And Jesus said, woe unto them that call evil good and that call good evil. And we're living in a society that says if you live by the standard of the Word of God and you call sin what it is and you believe that there is good and there's evil, there's God, there's the devil, and there's the principle for that, this world will say you are evil. Getting kind of quiet. And so they've blurred the line between good and evil. The truth of the matter is that in Ezekiel 28, that Satan is the original evil. The Bible says that thou wert perfect in all thy ways from the day thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. Here in our scriptures in 1 John, the Bible reads, Jesus said in his prayer, he said when we're to pray, deliver us from evil. The new Bibles change it. By the way, for your sake and for the sake of our radio audience, I use a King James 1611 Bible. And if you want to know why I use it, I have a 4-CD set that I'll be willing to give you or send you on why the King James Bible. But other Bibles change the prayer of our Savior to deliver us from the evil one. Now, I got news for you. I like being delivered from the evil one, for Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I need to be delivered from the evil one. But I got news for you. I want to be delivered from all evil. And so that's why I stick with the King James Bible. I want to be being delivered from all evil is better than being delivered from the evil one. What do you say? What are you saying, Pastor? Remember all the things we listed above: evil conscience, evil speaking, evil communications, evil. All that deliver. Hey, don't forget to pray. Lord, deliver me from evil. Maybe if I had been more diligent last week to pray, Lord, deliver me from evil and lead me not into temptation, maybe I would not have suffered from satanic oppression. Ever thought about that? Don't look at me kind of strange. I'm telling you the truth. I'm giving you some spiritual things that have helped you in your Christian walk. Listen, the best thing the devil can do is camouflage himself and say, I don't exist.
then we don't know who to combat. We don't know who to battle. We don't know what kind of warfare we're in. We are in a spiritual warfare. And so often we turn our spiritual warfare into a material warfare, and we war against people and against material things when there's really a spirit behind it that we should be combating. And the only way you can war a spiritual warfare is with the Word of the living God. 1 John 5:18, we're there. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So you say, preacher, there's verses that say the wicked one can't touch me. Yeah, but now look, there's three prerequisites to that. Let's look at the verse. We know that whosoever is born of God, number one, to keep the devil away, you've got to be born again. Whosoever is born of God, what's the second one? Sinneth not. That word sinneth, and that's another reason I like Elizabethan English in the King James Bible, that the word sinneth is a word that means, that E-T-H means continues in sin. There's no practice of sin. Listen, you and I are going to sin every day of our lives. Oh, wretched man that I am, I still got a flesh that needs to be dealt with every single day. But the Bible says that whosoever is born of God and sinneth not, that means there's no practice, daily practice of the same sin in your life. So those who are born of God who do not practice sin, look at the third thing. Keepeth himself. Just like a woman keeps house. I mean, girls, get ready. A woman keeps house, and occasionally the closet's cluttered, and the dishwasher's full, and the cabinets are all cluttered up, and she keeps house. What does she do? She goes and straightens things up. She washes the clothes. She folds things. She puts things in order, and the house is returned to an orderly manner. So there's three things to keep the devil away from you. To be delivered from evil, to be born again, to not practice sin, and to keep house spiritually. Some of y'all were immaculate housekeepers. If you went home and there was something out of order, there was dust, you'd fix it today. And yet there are people who never, ever look inside and see what needs to be straightened up, what needs to be washed, what needs to be folded, what needs to be put away. And their life is a mess. And so God help us to realize that this spiritual warfare is one that's going on externally, but it's one that must be won internally first. Watch this. 1 John 5:19. You're in 5:18. Go to 5:19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, or is under the control of the wicked one. 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come, praise God, and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Boy, that's a mouthful, but that sums up the whole gospel right there. We understand this morning as we read, the Bible says that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. We understand that life's a struggle. We understand that life's a conflict. We understand that we are combating an enemy. Listen, the devil seeks to oppress you. The devil seeks to rule you. He seeks to depress you. And you're going to have to overcome him with your testimony and the Word of God. He wants to stop us from serving the Lord. They give you four ways we've been delivered from the power. When Jesus said, deliver us from evil, He's already given us the power to be delivered from evil. Number one, I'll give you the keys. We're delivered from Satan by the power of God. We're delivered from Satan by the Prince of Peace.
We're delivered from Satan by the purification of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, we're delivered from him by the principles of the Word of God. Listen to Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us? Who? Jesus Christ hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath, past tense again, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. If you're born again by the Spirit of God, you have been past tense delivered, and you have been translated into the kingdom of God. Now we've got to find these letters source. I think of the story of the man who always went to prayer meeting, and when he was called on to pray, he always prayed, Lord, clean out the cobwebs. Lord, clean out the cobwebs. Every time he prayed, Lord, clean out the cobwebs. And finally, a dear little sister was called on to pray at the altar, and she laid her hands on him and prayed for him, and she said, Lord, she said, I'm tired of you cleaning out his cobwebs. She said, why don't you just kill the spider? So often we combat evil, and we never get to the source of that evil. And so we combat our own faults, and we never see the real enemy behind our faults. We fight against others, and we never fight against the devil, who's the real culprit. Listen, I've said this before. To solve a problem, this is a problem-solving toolbox right here. To solve a problem, you get to its source. If you go out today in your car and the transmission's torn up, you don't take the tail light apart. Is everybody with me? You've got to get to the source of the problem or you ain't going to go nowhere. The same is true in the spiritual world. If you don't get to the source of the problem, you're not going to go anywhere. And so the Word of God is what is needed. Listen, you've got to have the right tools. If the transmission is torn up, and you've got to have the right tools to fix the transmission. And the Word of God supplies us the right tools to not only pinpoint our problem, but to help us fix what is wrong. Thank God for His Word. And so we see the source. We use the effective weapon. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be vigilant, be sober, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says be vigilant. That is a word that compares to diligent. But vigilant means when you're diligent about something, you just see it through. But when you're vigilant about something, you're really watching it until it's done. You're real meticulous about the details. And the Bible says when we're watching this evil as it develops in the world and as it tries to develop itself in our life, that we set a vigil and we watch. I give you this. The winners in life are not the ones who go through life and never fail. The winners in life are the ones who fail and don't quit because of their failure. That's a great bit of wisdom that most people overlook and don't learn, and that's why our world is full of quitters. Somebody wave at me or something, praise God. Winners in life are not those who never make a mistake. They're those who continue to go and to do right in spite of the mistakes they make. I think Brother Kenner, I didn't ask him if I could use him for an example, so he was cleaning his camper a few months ago, and he falls off the ladder, didn't prop the ladder up good, did something stupid, right? I mean, I went to see him when he had his surgery, or right before that, and he said, boy, that was dumb. You know what? Quick as he had his surgery, he's right back in those doors on a walker. And he's limping and he's using that walker and he's pushed it along. Hey, I did something dumb, but I ain't quitting. We're all that way. And the next thing you know,
the walker's gone and the cane comes out. And he says, I don't even need this cane. I'm all the way to call the doctor, says he. That's what it means to be vigilant, to be diligent, to go on in spite of life's failures. Hey, we have overcome the wicked one. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We may be walking spiritually with a walker. We may be spiritually walking with a cane. And yes, maybe spiritually we have failed. But we go on because we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Praise God. Listen. Jesus prayed, I pray not, in John 17, the great high priestly prayer, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. Jesus didn't pray for us to be... Listen, we're living in a world, in a church age, where they say you just get saved and float right into heaven on a magic carpet. Jesus said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you deliver them from the evil. Rescue us from the evil, he's saying. Several Bible characters prayed to be removed, to be taken out of the world because of their own mistakes or because of the evil situation they were in. Let me give you some examples. There is Job. There's Elijah. There's Jonah. There's Moses. If you've reached a point in your Christian life where you feel like giving up, you're in some pretty good company. David prayed, Lord, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, then I'd fly away and be at rest. Sometimes we want to escape, but Jesus said we're not to be delivered out of the world, but just protected from the evil in the world. By the way, he said, take up your cross and follow me. Now, there's two things there that we often overlook. Number one, we never take it up to start with. And then when we do, here's my problem. I want to run ahead of him. And he said, take up your cross and follow me. There's four great principles, and I'm going to wind down the message. Four great principles for being delivered from evil. Number one is we respect it. What do you mean, Pastor? Respect it. Just like, listen, a woodsman doesn't stay home when the snakes are out. He just goes through the woods and he respects the snake. And so in that kind of illustration, we're to respect evil. You know what? The world tries to break our respect for evil. And the television's going to present guys, girls, it's going to present all kinds of evil things and immoral things to us and make it seem commonplace. And then we're walking through the woods of the world and with a carefree attitude and your bits. See what I'm saying? And so, don't disrespect. Don't lose your respect for evil. Number one, respect. Number two, removal. We are to flee from sin. Number three, resistance. The Bible says resist the devil, James 4:7, and he will flee from you. There's a readiness. Jesus said in Mark 14:38, watch and pray. I'm afraid today's church does not know how to pray. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Can I give you some statistics? 80% of the people who are looking for a church are looking for a music program. 80%. They have the desire to go to church, hear good music, and adopt a philosophy of positive thinking and go home. You're welcome. And the man or the woman who wants to go to church and hear the raps and the drums and the beat and get up worked up all emotionally and adapt a positive thinking mind
will never know how to combat the devil when he shows up. And we're living in a modern day church world who do not have the tools, the knowledge to fight the evil of the world. And that's why the Bible says as time goes on, that evil and seducers will wax worse and worse. And that's why it thrills me so much when a real man of God stands up with the Word of God and doesn't back down. That just thrills me to my soul. And so, let's move on. We'll close the message. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Joseph was delivered into the hands of his evil brothers. Those evil brothers sold him as a slave. He was into more evil. Now, Joseph's heart's right with God. He goes down into Egypt. He's delivered from the slave trade into a dungeon. Wow. But the Bible says the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. And the next thing you know, Joseph is second in command in the country. I would love to see a man like that today in our Congress, in our House of Representatives. A man in the White House who knows what it's like to face the evil one, who knows what it's like to pray, who knows what it's like to be delivered as a godly man out of the hand of the devil. A man with some experience, a man with some spiritual gumption about him. I don't think we'll ever see that, but I sure long for it. And I'm so glad for the day when the Lord Jesus will return and He'll be that man. And that's why the Bible says when He comes back, He'll rule with a rod of iron. The nations aren't going to like it. And at the end of that 1,000-year period, and I'm getting too far into eschatology, but at the end of that 1,000-year period, man's going to rebel against Him because man, even in a perfect situation in the millennial kingdom, is going to fail and rebel against the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so, Joseph faced oppression. Israel faced oppression. David faced oppression. Daniel faced oppression. The three Hebrew children faced oppression, but the Lord delivered them all. I think of Daniel in the lion's den. As he had disobeyed the command of the king, he went to his window like he normally did and prayed. And just because Daniel was praying in his window, he went to the lion's den. And the king didn't want to throw him in there. The king actually liked him. And the king walks out to the lion's den and with a lamentable voice, the Bible says. That means a sorrowful voice. He came out, he just knew Daniel was ripped to pieces and he really didn't want to put him in there. Read the Word of God. And the king comes out. The Scripture says that when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, the servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lion's mouth? And the voice he heard back was not a voice of disrespect. It was a voice that said, O king, live forever. God sent His angel this night and has shut the lion's mouth. And when Jesus says we're to pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, He says, for thine is the kingdom and the power to do it, and you'll get the glory from it. Thank God for it. Lord, deliver me from evil. Tony, would you step up, please, and dismiss us as we...